Looking up to me, that's why I'm looking up to you. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another Looking Up show. I am Danny, and I am joined with my co-host, Sharissa. How are you going, Sharissa?
I'm very, very well and a little nervous today.
Oh, very nervous. That makes two of us. Tell our listeners why you are nervous, and rightly so.
Yeah, we have swapped roles, and Danny is multitasking. He happens to be trying to be the producer as well as a presenter.
Did you hear how she emphasized the word trying?
He's doing a very good job.
Well, I've pressed the right button so far.
Actually, we don't know. Can anyone hear us?
Well, we're not sure if anyone can. But yeah, please, David. David has already texted us in.
Oh, good. Wow.
He's already texted us in just before we started. Uh-huh. He's saying, good afternoon, Looking Up team. So I'm sure David's ready to roll for another show. And it's the 4th of December. Can you believe it? We are in December.
Yeah, it's amazing. Time is just flying this year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So if anyone can hear us out there, please confirm. Send us a message. Say, yes, we can hear you. Otherwise, I'll be in real trouble. I've got my friend Rochelle here. She's supervising.
Praise the Lord.
She's supervising. She's watching I've never seen her this anxious either.
That gives me a lot of peace of mind seeing her in the room.
I have never seen Rochelle this anxious before. In fact, I've got to let our listeners know what I shared with you. I've got to let you in on a little secret, dear listeners, and that is before the show, because this was all, set up, Sharissa's going to be sadly going away, and so I'll be left on my own some lonesome, especially if there's no Rochelle or anybody else here. And so Rochelle and our mate Shell, Rochelle and Shell, they were having a discussion as to what is my capability.
That's right.
When it comes to, managing this whole situation, and it wasn't a very long conversation. It was a very, very short conversation, and they basically just shook their heads, didn't say much, and said, maybe a miracle will happen.
But you know what? They've actually let you have a go.
They've given me a go.
There's faith in that.
But no one's texted us yet. They better know where to text.
Give the number.
0488817624 is the number. 0488817624. Please, somebody, have mercy on me. I'm very anxious. I'm sweating, and it's nice and cool here in the studio, but I'm thoroughly sweating, wondering, is this getting through to anyone out there in radio land? And in the meantime, I hope it is, and I'm going to continue and share with you what we've got today. We've got a giveaway. Our giveaway today is from Niku Doombrava, and I think we've had his book before.
Yes. I'm actually one of the contributors.
Is that right? Well, then why don't you tell us all about that book?
Well, it's a little book called Dare to Connect with God, and it's a compilation of very different authors all talking about how we can incorporate prayer in many different things. For example, looking at the topics here, a prayer for every need, prayer of transformation, prayer of blessing, prayer for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, prayer in tough times, prayer for healing. If you want to know how to pray, and if you've been wondering how you can better connect with God, this is a book for you. It's got so many different ideas and contributors in it. It'd be a blessing.
Oh, fantastic. Praise the Lord. So that will be our giveaway book. We will be giving the code word in a couple of segments. And we have a message from David.
Oh, someone can hear us.
So David at least can hear us in WA. At least WA is on. Praise the Lord for that. We've got over 200 stations tuning in right now around Australia and New Zealand and Norfolk Island. Let's not forget Norfolk.
Welcome to all.
Absolutely. And so, yes, he has shared. Yes, Danny, Sharissa, and Rochelle. He's spelled, you know how he spelled your name? Check it out. I love it. I love this spelling. I was thinking, who's he talking about? And then I had a Rashell. How do you like that, Rochelle?
Good old Rashy.
Good old Rashy. There you go. And next month. Oh, and he gives us next month, in a month from today, 4th of Jan. His wife, Tina, and he will be celebrating their 39th anniversary.
Praise the Lord. Lord. Well done.
Hallelujah. We won't be live on air then, so we're giving you our congratulations right now.
Yes.
So congratulations to you both. And 3 days before that, well, 4 days before that, on January 1, Jasna and I are celebrating.
Oh, how many years?
3 decades. Can you believe it? She's been praise with me for 3 decades, 30 years.
What a woman.
What does a woman like that deserve that's hung around with me for 30 years?
You better have something special.
Like a Nobel Prize doesn't cut it. It just doesn't cut it.
Yeah.
So anyway, you're
wonderful.
Wait a minute, and Judah's birthday's coming up in January, isn't
it? January 4.
What?
Yeah, he'll be 2.
Oh, it's all happening. Rochelle, anything happening for you in January? Holidays. That's good enough. So there you go. So, hey, oh, well, we're down to 48 seconds. Boy, this thing really moves when you're here.
It's a lot to think about.
Anyway, so today, Charissa, tell us what you're going to be telling us about, well, or what we're going to be dealing with after we deal with a few current events and news.
Talk about current events and news as it relates to Bible prophecy and the soon return of Jesus, which he's coming very soon.
Amen, amen.
But in line of that, we thought we'd also go back and think about the time Jesus came the first time as a little baby. And we're going to do a little bit of a walk through some of the Gospels there about the story of Jesus, because there's some beautiful lessons for today.
Absolutely. So that's something to look forward to, folk. You're going to really enjoy that Bible study when we get to it. But we'll be dealing with our current events and Bible prophecy before that. But in the meantime, enjoy Rick Foray, The Old Rugged Cross. What a classic. Mm. What a classic, and what a way to begin. Thomas. So I hope and pray that you all enjoy this song. And we will be with you with some current events in light of Bible prophecy. And we're going to be hearing and listening to the trump, because the trumpet is about to sound. Enjoy.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday, my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Well, that was Rick Foray, The Old Rugged Cross. What a classic, Charissa.
What a classic.
And what a great voice.
And it's nice to hear my voice.
Absolutely.
I couldn't hear it before.
Yes, I know. Charissa's like, I can't hear myself. And I'm like, yeah, well, I'm thinking to myself. I didn't say it to her. I'm like, you need to speak up. And then she says, I'm yelling, but I still can't hear myself. It's not her fault. She's not a foghorn like some. Like some, isn't that right, Rochelle? Like some? Like I don't even have to yell and I'm just like a foghorn.
No.
You know, my wife, often she will be like, Denny, you're not preaching when I'm talking to her, because I just think I'm like talking normally.
You're just getting excited.
Yeah, I'm just getting excited. You're like, you're not preaching to me, Denny. So anyway, hope you're enjoying the Looking Up Show, folk, this time round. And we have a very fascinating program for you. As Charissa pointed out, we're going to be going back to the first coming of Jesus in the Bible study section as we delve into that. Before that, we're going to be dealing with current events and Bible prophecy. And before that, here's another message from David. Well, wow. David is really just giving us lots of messages today. And let's see what David's got to say on this time. He says, hey, Danny, I was an usher and Tina was a greeter. I was sad seeing people walking into church looking like they had been sucking lemons all week, so I would do silly welcomes to make them happy. Oh, there you go, a man after my own heart. Tina thought better marry this fellow and stop him from embarrassing himself. Well, there you go. I'm sure Jasna did a good deed as well, plucking me out of the fire. So, I mean, who else would bother with someone like me? Anyway. I'm very pleased, very, very, very pleased and praising the Lord that she's stuck by me. And yeah, every January 1, she renews my contract. So I'm holding my breath to see if it's going to happen for the 30th time.
You've got a pretty good track record here.
29 out of 29. So we'll see. Anyway. All right. So let's give the number again, 0488-17624. If you would like to comment, share anything with us, prayer request, anything at all, we would love to hear from you. All right. So I want to give you as much time as we possibly can, Charissa, but let's talk about some of the things that are making news headlines right now. And there's a lot going on.
Oh, so much.
There is a lot going on. And next year, 2025, is going to be massive.
You say that every year and
I'm right.
Yeah, you're right.
It's going to be huge. Now, 2025, I believe, is just going to be off the Richter scale. So, anyway, let's just talk about some of the things that are making news. You know, you turn on the news and there are big stories happening literally every day telling us that Jesus is coming soon. So I'm going to go through a couple of these really quickly. Firstly, let's start off with Trump. Trump, from Trump to the trumpet. You know what I mean? That's going to be, I think that's going to be the title of our studies more often than not next year, especially. Anyway, I've got triple T here. Mm-hmm. Trump equals tariffs. Well, actually, quadruple T equals tariffs, terrible trouble. So we had the Canadian Prime Minister come through and visited Mar-a-Lago, and it was really fascinating. So if there's any Canadian listeners out there, they'll be fascinated with what I'm about to share, if they haven't caught up. And anyway, he was telling Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, that if they don't get their act together and do something with the border, he's going to slap 25% tariffs on them. And you remember what, do you recall what Justin Trudeau responded with?
Did he say we had an excellent conversation or something?
Yeah, something like that. But what he said in connection with those tariffs, he said, look, if you go through with that, that's going to bankrupt our country.
Right.
And Donald Trump said, that's not a problem. We'll just simply make Canada the 51st state of the United States, and we'll make you governor. And they kind of all nervously giggled. They nervously giggled.
Yeah, it's,
but the thing is, he's a loose cannon. Nobody knows what he's going to do.
Yeah, and it's very, like, it's been a while since we've had an American president talking like this very strongly.
Oh.
Not just about that situation, the immigration situation there, but about, you know, what's happening in Europe, what's happening in the Middle East. He's just speaking very strongly in every
very state. Straight, very strong. Well, this just came out in the last little bit, and this would cause alarm bells for people in the Middle East. He literally, this was the headline, Trump warns there will be all hell to pay. He's speaking to Hamas directly, if hostages aren't released by January 20. Mm-hmm. All hell to pay. I mean, and, you know, this is what he says. He basically said, please let this truth serve to represent that if the hostages are not released prior to January 2025, the date that I proudly assume office as President of the United States, there will be, and in capitals, Trump capitals, all hell to pay, all in capitals, in the Middle East, and for those in charge who perpetrated these atrocities against humanity. And so, you know, then at the end of his tweet on his, you know, Truth Social platform, at the end, in capitals, once again, release the hostages now. And that was in response to Hamas putting out a video of one of the hostages 2 days prior, you know, appealing to Donald Trump to release him, and to the Prime Minister of Israel, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu. So what we have here is very significant, Charissa, because we've got the United States, which is at the very center of end time Bible prophecy. We know that from Scripture.
Yes.
And then we've got Israel, who is seen by our evangelical friends as being this epicenter of Bible prophecy and their understanding of how end time events will be fulfilled. So you put those two combinations together and you have all the ingredients for some serious fireworks.
Absolutely.
So only God knows where this is going to go.
That's right.
I'm not brave enough to make any predictions in connection with that. So we'll see where all that goes in Lebanon. Yep. Remember Justin? Our friend Justin was on the phone with
us last week.
He's from that program, The Perfect Storm.
Yes.
A great Faith FM program that we'd encourage our listeners to tune into on a Friday afternoon at 4:30, I understand. Mm-hmm. We shared the news that there had been a ceasefire between Hezbollah and Israel. You remember that?
Yes.
And you remember what he said? Don't hold your breath.
That's right.
Basically, don't hold your breath. And guess what? He was right. Mm. The bombs are flying, the missiles are flying, the bombs are going, destruction and death is taking place as we speak. Mm-hmm. You know, not even a week. And it's very, very sad. So, and then, back to our friend Donald Trump. Interesting what he shared with a number of these nations. They're called the BRICS, the BRICS Alliance, that stand for Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, and there's a number of other nations. Guess what they're wanting to roll out?
A new currency.
A new currency. Well, guess what Donald Trump said to them?
Don't you dare.
Otherwise, I'm going to place 100% tariff on you. Seriously, the guy uses nuclear language, and I'm talking about nuclear as in a symbolic when it comes to anything.
It's fascinating, isn't it?
Like capitals, it's like just in your face. So, so we'll see what happens with that. And Project 2025.
Yeah.
Well, my friend, I've got to send you a compilation that's been put together by an individual that just came through on my YouTube feed. I'll send it through to you later, the link. A compilation of where Project 2025 is in connection with Donald Trump. And you remember he said, oh, I really don't know anything about it. It's not my thing. You remember kind of really distanced himself during the election? Well, apparently six of his cabinet picks are either contributors or they've written chapters in Project 2025.
Really?
Yeah. That might be news to him as well.
Wow.
I don't think so. I don't think so. But anyway, and he was saying before the election, before the Democrats, you know, use this as a method to try and, you know, undermine him and his election aspirations, you know, before they use this as a tool, he spoke to Heritage Foundation. It's there. It's, you know, it's public. He spoke to them and he said, what you are rolling out, I am ready to implement when I take office.
Now, just clarifying, Trump said this?
Trump said this.
This is fascinating because
he said this about the Heritage Foundation. He didn't mention Project 2025, but he said, I love the work that Heritage does.
Interesting.
And they have put together a template or they've put together policies that I will be able to implement as soon as I begin.
Now, that's very fascinating because there's a page in the document that talks about Sabbath rest. In fact, I've got it here. It's an excerpt from page 589.
Mm-hmm. This 900-page document.
900 pages. And there it says there's a paragraph, Sabbath rest, and it says, God ordained the Sabbath as a day of rest. And until very recently, the Judeo-Christian tradition sought to honor that mandate by moral and legal regulation of work on that day. And it goes on. But of course, when it's talking about the Sabbath here, it's not talking about the seventh day Sabbath.
No, it's not.
Of the Ten Commandments and of Scripture. It's talking about Sunday, which the Bible calls the first day of the week.
Or as Christians refer to it also as the Lord's Day.
That's right. So, but it's calling that the Sabbath. Mm. Well, I had some interesting texts come through from Michelle, actually, this week.
She never sent them to me.
Well, maybe. Well.
Michelle.
Then I can share them with you now, and I share them with all of our listeners. But it was fascinating to me because this is from, these are screenshots from X, which is formerly Twitter. Mm-hmm. And I'll just read one of these to you.
Yes.
This is from somebody. It says, Thanksgiving Day. And this was from November 28, 2024. Not that long ago.
A couple of days ago.
Thanksgiving Day and Christmas Day are proof that our society can exist with stores closing for a day. Make Sunday Blue Laws great again.
Wow.
This is from the people. This is from the grassroots. And then there was another news story, an article from the Daily Mail in the UK. Shops should close on Sunday. Can be a day of rest. And then it was a story there. But actually, it says the fourth commandment, establishing a general day of rest every week, is still a pretty good idea, and we will be sorry when it's gone.
Wow.
And then there was another one, which I don't think I can read here, but it was, okay, here back in, another person posted that in 143 U.S. 457, that's from 1892, some law thing, the Supreme Court defined that the USA is a Christian and religious nation. Mm. Among other things, it cites the presentment clause of the Constitution, which acknowledges the Sunday rest. And then there's a whole conversation that goes on underneath it. What I thought was amazing was when I thought, this is interesting, because this is coming from the general public. This is not from lawmakers or politicians. This is just from the grassroots
people weighing in on this subject.
Weighing in. And then I just went to X myself and I just said, I just typed in Sunday Blue Laws, any conversation. Just bring up whatever conversations is happening. Listen to this one individual. It says they're tweeting at the real Donald Trump. So they're sending a message to the president. Elect. Can we reinstate Sunday Blue Laws? Question mark. We need to do something to indicate our return to God. Perhaps Robert Kennedy Jr. can suggest one day of fasting per week, like Friday fish and fast, both for health and for the Lord's glory.
Wow.
This is just in people's minds.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, wow, wow. Well, last week, you remember, I shared that the ad or the promo of Donald Trump in connection with the Donald Trump Bible.
Yes.
You know, it's been called the Donald Trump Bible. It's not the Donald Trump Bible, as in it's the KJV, it's the King James Version, but he's endorsing it.
Yeah.
And you remember the massive endorsement. And one of those Bibles, your husband, Justin, shared with me, and I went and had a look at $1,000.
Wow.
And those Bibles are interesting. There's three Bibles, and they all are connected with Donald Trump, either his inauguration, January 20, 2025, or when he was almost assassinated, you know, back in July. And I can't remember what the other one. And they're on the front cover of the Bible, that statement, linking the God of heaven, with the sparing of Donald Trump, with God raising him up for such a time as this.
Fascinating.
You can't make this stuff up.
That is
you amazing. Cannot make this stuff up. And look, this is what Donald Trump had to say. So this is not grassroots. Now we're going to the Trump himself. Listen to the sound of the Trump. Here we go. This is from that promo. He says, we have to bring Christianity back into our lives and back into what will be again a great nation. Mm-hmm. That's what he said. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm proud to endorse and encourage you to get this Bible. We must make America pray again. Pray and get educated, get motivated, and stand with me and the legions of Americans asking God to bless our great nation, to bring our great nation back, and to make America great again. And then he finishes off by saying, I think you all should get a copy of the God Bless USA Bible now and help spread our Christian values with others. It's all over. Game over. I'm telling you, sister, it's game over unless God pulls up the handbrake. Unless God pulls up the handbrake, it's not so much Donald Trump that I fear. It's the ones that are behind him. He doesn't care about policy and all that stuff. He's a big picture man. And so we are going to see some very interesting things take place, I believe. In the meantime, listen to this beautiful song.
I love thee and I know thou art mine. For thee follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If
hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun, so catch you then.
Jesus. just Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know He is with me, will be with me too.
Listening to Faith FM, positively different radio.
Do you have Bible questions? Join me, Lyle, at 5 o'clock every Thursday during Afternoons with Shell. We give Bible answers for all your difficult questions. Our commitment? We will leave no Bible question unanswered. So send in your questions to The Shell Show on 0488 880856.
Looking up to you.
You're listening to The Looking Up Show on this beautiful 4th of December afternoon here. It's Wednesday afternoon here in Lake Macquarie, and wherever you are tuning in from, we want to give you a big, big, big warm welcome. Anyway, that was a bit over the top, so hope you're all going to hang in there still with us. Anyway, it's great to have you, and we are dealing with what's happening in the world as it relates to Bible prophecy, and there is just so much going on and at such a rapid pace. But before we continue with that, and then we've got our Bible study after that, so stay tuned for that. Sharissa will be leading us through. The looking up number is 0488 17 624, and our giveaway book, Sharissa, do you want to tell our listeners about our giveaway book?
Yes, it's a book entitled Dare to Connect with God. It's compiled by Niku Dambrava, but there's many contributors there. I think there's...
including someone called Sharissa Tarosian.
There you go.
Or is it Sharissa Fong in the book?
It's Tarosian.
It's Tarosian.
But there's 13 contributors in the book, mm-hmm. and each one talking about prayer as it relates to different topics. So if you're looking for a book that will help you connect with God, this is a book that will be a blessing to you, and it would be a blessing to have it, to read it, particularly as you begin the new year. It's a great opportunity to make new resolutions and establish new habits of prayer in your life, and this would be a blessing to you in that space.
Amen. So the next section, we're going to give the code word. We're going to give All the right. code word in the next section, so be ready and stay tuned for that. And how many copies do we have to give away, Sharissa?
It doesn't actually say. Shell hasn't
No, it doesn't say. So it might be Christmas Unlimited.
Yeah, I think so. It looks like that's
Praise the Lord.
Case.
Praise the Lord for that. And talking about prayer, Sharissa, we have a very special prayer conference with two very special guests coming from the United States of America.
Yes, that's
tell
right.
us about that and how people can be part of that. Because I mean, we're open to all, aren't we? Anybody who wants to connect with God more so in their prayer life, come along. So tell us about that.
Yeah, thank you. Well, coming February 27, which is actually a Thursday, through to March 2, there's going to be what we call a...
This is next year, early
next year. It's going to be what we call a prayer conference, which is like a big prayer camp. And it's a revival meeting, really. And the speakers we've got coming from the States are Pavel Goyer and Melody Mason. Both of these speakers preach and speak on prayer all over the place. They have wonderful testimonies to share of how prayer has impacted their lives personally. Melody's actually the author of several books. I think she was the author of last week's giveaway that we were giving away as well. But yeah, they're coming. And so look, we'd encourage you, if you're interested, you and in coming and spending the weekend at this specific location. It's a campground. It's at Stewart's Point here in New South Wales. But yeah, there's plenty of space for you to set up a tent. You can book a camping site. You can just ring the Yarra Holiday and Adventure Park and secure your accommodation. But if you'd like to register to attend, then you can go to the website. And I'll give you the short version. It's, if you use the Bitly web addresses, it's just easier. So it's bit.ly/ and then capitals prayer 2025, the number 2025. If you type that in, it'll take you straight to the page where you can book and register as a delegate. You can have you can book your meals if you'd like to, or you can come and fast and pray, or you can bring your own. There are different options, but yeah, definitely would encourage all of our listeners, young and old, to consider coming. Maybe make it a family thing, bring friends, bring your neighbors. It'd be a wonderful way to start the year together in prayer. And you know, as we know, Jesus is coming soon. Like I've been reading a little bit about Gethsemane lately and thinking about that, and I realizing anew how Jesus prepared for the final crisis of his life by going and praying.
And good point.
As we are preparing for the very final crisis point of human history, what we need to do is what Jesus did. He told his disciples, watch and pray, because you know, they were still thinking they had it in them to meet whatever was coming. But when it did come, they were found destitute of power because they were trusting in themselves.
And they were sleeping.
They were sleeping.
When they ought to have been praying.
When they ought to have been praying. So that's that'd be an encouragement for all of us. So bit.ly/ capitals prayer 2025, and that'll take people to the website.
There you go. So, or can they go onto the North New South Wales?
They can, if you
Seventh-day Adventist Church website.
That's
and
right.
So if you want to go to the North New South Wales Seventh-day Adventist Church website, you'll be able to find it there.
Just type it in the search bar and it'll come up. Prayer Conference 2025. And the theme for next year is Power Unlimited.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's based on that explosive text in Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And what will it do? It will make you witnesses for Jesus, both
Amen.
At home and abroad and around.
Amen. Amen. And that word power in Acts 1:8 is the word dunamis in the Greek.
Sounds like dynamite.
It is. It's that word dynamite that we get from the word dunamis. And talking about dynamite, there's a lot of dynamite going on, but it's not the prayer dynamite that we're talking about. It's the dynamite that the enemy is using to destroy people's lives.
True, very true.
And it was interesting that the Russians they shared that they are working on, or they have they've come up with a new ICBM, an intercontinental ballistic missile.
Sounds scary.
Oh, absolutely, ICBM. And it's called the Satan 2. The Satan 2. That's the nickname that has been. The first one was Satan 1. This is an upgrade, and it's Satan 2. So there you go. That says it all. That says it all. And so there's a lot going on. There are protests in Georgia right now in connection with the EU membership. Syria has broken out into war once again, and it just shows you how messed up our world is.
Well,
do you realize?
Even South Korea was making
South Korea had a coup.
Morning.
Well, no, sorry. The president there declared
martial law
for 6 hours. Like, that's just unheard of.
I don't quite
of.
Understand. What does that mean?
Well, that means he brings out the army onto the streets, and basically all regular laws and so forth are suspended, and that's where the president has ultimate power to do what he needs to do. That's in the state of emergency. That's when everything is falling apart, but it's not. But he decided to do that because he's not getting his way in parliament. But anyway, this in South Korea, that prides itself on being a democracy. And it just shows how quickly things can happen. Just literally, you know, in the space of minutes, a country can change, a world can change. And so that's the world that we live in now. In Syria there's a war that's broken out there once again. They've had this relative sort of peace for a number of years, I think since about 2016, for the last 8 years. And then all of a sudden there's been, this rebel group, as they are seen, this rebel group that has taken over the second largest city in Syria, Aleppo. And I went on a map just to see what's going on in Syria. And do you realize in Syria, it's run by six different entities? Six different entities. That'd be like Australia being run by six prime ministers. Can you imagine that? In different parts of Australia being run by different
governments.
All right. So you've got the Syrian government that runs one section. You've got the Syrian rebels. They run another one. You've got the Kurdish forces. They run another part of Syria. You've got the Turkey-backed forces. They run another part. You've got the US and partner forces. They run a fifth area. And then you've got the Islamic State fighters. They're still there in pockets. So you know what this tells me? This is like a picture of where our world is. It's in a mess.
Absolutely.
And that is why Jesus coming is drawing ever near. You know, that's just such an example that things are coming to an end. And I want to just ask for your thoughts on President Biden pardoning his son. That made news this week. President Biden pardoned his son.
Yeah, I saw Harley Southwell put something on social media. It was quite funny. He said, this will be the sermon illustration next year. You too have a father in high places who offers you a complete unconditional pardon.
And that's exactly what I was thinking of, Charissa. But you know what? When God offers a pardon, unlike the President of the United States, he goes one big, big step further. Mm. President Biden did not give up his life to pardon his son, mm-hmm. whereas God gave up his son to pardon us.
That's powerful.
So it's a very different pardon. Yes, the illustration will only go so far. The word pardon is used in both instances. But, yeah, God pardoned us. He forgave us. Mm. And, you know, I do like the language that, you know, President Biden pardoned his son in full, in full. And that's what God's grace is. It's a pardon in full. And yes, we're all sinners and we're deserving of death.
That's right.
But because of Jesus Christ, who gave up his life. And the bottom line here is that Christ was willing to be separated from his Father forever, that we may be reunited with our Heavenly Father forever.
And it's very hard for us to wrap our minds around that.
Impossible, yeah.
You know, yes, he was separated, but this was the first time and the only time that he had ever been separated from God. Like the Godhead had always been in perfect, complete harmony. And then you come to Gethsemane and there's this sundering of the heavenly powers. It's amazing.
Yeah. And when Jesus said, Father, take this cup mm-hmm. away. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. That was that cup that was filled with the sins of the world.
Sin of the world, the weight. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, Isaiah 53.
And the Bible says, you know, thy sins have separated you from me.
Yes.
And it was that sin that separated Jesus from his heavenly Father, whereby he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? So that's a very different picture than President Biden, you know, forgiving his son.
That's right.
That did not cause the separation. That's brought the reunification, you know, between father and son, whereas in the story 2,000 years ago, it brought about the separation, which brought about our coming back together.
That's right.
To the Father. Jesus is that
our
bridge.
Restoration.
Our restoration. So that's very, very powerful. So onto some other things. It's interesting that, you know, before we went to that beautiful song you mentioned regarding the Sunday, you know, what people out there just in mainstream, you know, grassroots community are saying about blue laws and potentially bringing that back. And we know that that's where the Christian nationalists, the religious right, want to take it because it's in their document, that Project 2025. Tell me, you shared this very interesting article with me from a Philippine newspaper, Phil Star. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, this was actually sent to me by one of our listeners, actually.
Oh, fantastic.
Tegan, if she's listening, she sent this through. And, yeah, it's an opinion piece from the paper you just mentioned. And the opinion title, it was published November 29, 2024, and it says in the title, need for, quote, a day of grace and rest from work, restore the Sunday law. And then this is the letter to the editor. With all due respect, may we call on our esteemed legislators and leaders to pass a law, quote, in respecting religious liberty and the common good of all, in recognition of Sundays and the church's holy days as legal holidays. And then she goes on and quotes several portions of the catechism. But it was just very interesting again that this is coming to people's minds as a solution for what's going on in our world, the spiraling lack of morality.
And it's interesting the language here that is used, common good, common good. Where does that language come from?
Well, the Pope.
Pope Francis, that's his trademark, you know, the common good when it comes to the environment, when it comes to, you know, peace and safety. It's all about the common, when it comes to, you know, equality, economic equality, when it comes to anything, it's always about the common good for all. And there was this MSN article, MSN, which is a kind of a internet-based news organizations, and they had this come out. When was this? This was not so long ago. I don't have a date here, but it was just very recent. The significance of Sunday worship for Christians. And they were pointing out the significance of Sunday worship for Christians.
Now, people might be listening, Danny, and they might be wondering why we're making such a big deal about this, because wouldn't this be a good thing for people to have a day of worship?
Yes, it would be a great thing, and God gave us that day of worship 6,000 years ago when he created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Mm. He gave them the Sabbath day, but we know from Bible prophecy that the enemy will seek to hijack God's memorial of creation, the Sabbath being a sign between God and his people, and he will seek to place his counterfeit sign, which is sadly the first day of the week, as that sign.
And he'll enforce it.
And he'll seek to enforce it, Revelation 30, which should never happen. Yeah, right. God invites us to worship on the seventh day Sabbath, but he invites us. We can do that out of our own free accord, but God never, ever forces the conscience. God doesn't accept forced worship. He only accepts worship from the heart, given in love.
Amen.
And so that's exactly where it goes. So there's a lot more that we can talk about in this space, but we're going to leave the rest of the news headlines for another day next time. But in the meantime, we're going to listen to Souls West Collective, and you're going to enjoy this, and then we'll be back with our Bible study.
But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life. He is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing he might have life through his name. But these are that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life. He is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. His name.
You're listening to the Looking Up Show, and we are having a wonderful time once again this afternoon. Amen. And I have been bumped off that very nerve-wracking area of what do you call it?
Producing
and hosting. So I think Rochelle.
You did very well.
Yeah, Rochelle thinks that I know which buttons to press. Rochelle, what were your thoughts? What was going through your mind?
I was really nervous, but I think you passed. I was surprised. You did better than I expected.
So 50%, 51%.
We've still got our live sites on there. We've still got people hearing us, I think.
Yes. I think you can definitely get like a 52.
52. Well, there you go. 52 out of 100. I'll take that. I will take that.
It's not a fail.
I didn't crash and burn. My maiden voyage didn't hit the iceberg. So anyway.
Looking up.
Oh, look. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yeah. Now, look, I mean, Charissa, seriously, she's a woman and she can multitask on many fronts. She could have little Judah here. And
we nearly did have him here.
We nearly did have him. That's true. Yeah. I thought he was going to come potentially.
Yes, he would have loved to be here, but we're definitely hearing more from each other without him.
Maybe one of these days we'll have Judah join Charissa and she'll be producing and hosting and doing a whole bunch of things. Women can do amazing things. I'm just continually amazed at what women can do.
God is amazing.
It's just amazing.
He wired us.
And like, I mean, you might have, like a woman could have three or four kids or five kids, little kids at home, and she can still cook and clean and still get.
You can only speak of one, but your wife, she would be able to speak to this.
Yes. And
she knows where they are.
Yeah. And then
she can still keep a household.
And still know how to deal with the husband.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
It is.
I don't understand it. If someone can explain it to us, text us. Our number is 0488 1762. Can you text us how this phenomena works?
That's right.
0488 1762. And we need to give the code word. The book is Dare to Connect with God. It's a book on prayer. And the one and only Charissa has written one of those chapters. And one of 13 chapters. And I do need to restate, in case our listeners are wondering, I wasn't invited to be a contributor, but that's okay. That is okay. I've been able to get through that.
Contribute in other ways.
Yeah, I contribute.
He contributes everywhere anyway.
Exactly, whether I'm invited or not. So anyway, the code word is... Charissa?
LU24CONNECT, CONNECT.
So LU24CONNECT. And the number is 0488 17624. Heaps and heaps of these books available. So everyone's a winner.
It's a good Christmas gift.
It's a great Christmas gift. Absolutely. So if you've got someone in mind, this would be a fantastic for them. So, right. Charissa, I'm handing the baton over to you for you to take us through the rest of this. Of our time together this afternoon.
Well, maybe I'll just hand it back to you briefly for prayer.
Okay, let's do that. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you again for the blessings of this day. And now, Lord, as we delve into Scripture, we pray that your Holy Spirit will lead and guide us. Because if ever there was a time when we needed Scripture to be our foundation, to be our light that lights up our path, it's right now. And so we pray that as we open your word, open our hearts and our minds, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, there's so many things that we can talk about when it comes to looking at the birth of Jesus. There's so many different angles we could take. But today I thought it would be good for us to go to the book of Luke and consider the story of the shepherds, which is timeless, really. And it's great that Christmas comes around, you know, once a year, because we get to come back to their story, to the story of the wise men, to the story of Mary and Joseph. So many powerful lessons we can learn from all of them. But today we're going to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 is where we'll begin.
Chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Mm-hmm. Okay. So would you like me to read that?
Please.
This is what it says. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. Mm-hmm. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid.
Yeah. Now, when I read my Bible, I've noticed that God seems to have a tendency to call people that we wouldn't expect to be major players in his story. Mm. I'm thinking about, you know, David was a shepherd boy. The disciples, they were fishermen and tax collectors. And here, to run his story, God chooses the shepherds. And, you know, it's not really a good marketing strategy. It wouldn't be a great way to reach the masses, you would think. But God chooses the shepherds to tell people. They're the first people to hear the news of the birth of God's only Son, the Savior of the world. And think about the context of the time. I'd like our listeners to think about it as well. Because, you know, at this time, you've got Herod around. Mm-hmm. And historically, Herod has a bit of a bad track record. Do you remember some of his story?
He was pretty mean. Yes. He ordered the execution mm-hmm. of the babies.
That's right.
In Bethlehem.
That's right.
After the wise men came and they told him they were here to worship the king, and if he could give them any indication of where the king of Israel would be.
Mm-hmm.
And as the story goes, as the Bible says, the story goes, they left it at a, you know, they left a different way because they received news from God through a dream that they were to, you know, avoid Herod.
Yes.
And so Herod then, in rage, yeah, killed, I think, all the babies that under two and under.
That's right. That's what I have here. And, you know, this was his style of leadership. Mm. And history even tells us that this is what he did when anyone got in his way. Here he was afraid of a king that would be born. But, you know, when his mother-in-law got in his way and his brother-in-law and his wife and his two sons by his wife, he actually just killed them all.
Wow.
Yeah. And 300 Jewish sympathizers of his sons, he cut them as well, killed them as well. So it would make sense why God didn't choose to tell King Herod about the news of the birth of baby Jesus. And then, of course, he could have, you know, maybe chosen someone else, maybe some of the people in Jerusalem. But at that time, everybody was occupied with the census. There were census crowds. It was, you know, people weren't really worried about a little baby in Bethlehem at this time. So instead, God chooses the shepherds. Mm. And we need to stop and think about them a little bit, because we live in Australia where we don't really probably have many shepherds. I don't know. So a shepherd listening, please let us know.
Well, they're on motorbikes generally.
They're
on motorbikes and they're dealing with, you know, huge amounts of cattle.
That's right.
You know, sheep, and they, yeah, round them up. So I think that's how we do things here in Australia, but not like they did things, and they still do in many parts of the world today. You know, the shepherds,
mm-hmm.
as they did for thousands of years, you know, operate.
Well, maybe it's like this.
I've seen them in the Middle East. I've seen shepherds there, shepherd boys, shepherd girls.
It's not a very highly looked on profession.
No, it's not. Still
that way. Well, in first century Palestine, if somebody robbed you in a field and there were 35 shepherds around who saw it happen and they could name the attacker, their testimony didn't matter and it wouldn't count because they were just shepherds.
Are you serious?
Yeah. They were borderline social outcasts, constantly on the move. This is people's perception.
Wow.
They're looked on with suspicion. They are always accused of theft. I mean, if something went missing, it must have been the shepherd's fault. 9 times out of 10, this job is given to the youngest male in the family. And, of course,
David.
That's right. David.
The youngest.
He was out and all the other brothers were home, but mm-hmm. that's because he was off doing looking after the sheep so the older ones could be freed up for more important work. But that said, I'm sure that shepherds, for the most part, were kind people and loyal because they were caring for their sheep and they had a mentality that they would die for them. But you wouldn't probably want your daughters to marry a shepherd in first century Palestine because they were lacking in people skills. They just spent their time with sheep and leading them to green pastures and still waters 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They were probably not the greatest in hygiene. They were not able to come and have a bath regularly, but it was a lonely, tedious, thankless, underpaid, dirty job that they had to do. And often they couldn't come to the temple frequently, so because they were, you know, it wasn't their fault. It was just someone had to look after the sheep. And so they were ceremonially considered unclean, and worse still, they kept away for weeks at a time, so it was very impossible for them to change that status.
Wow, so wanted shepherds, you wouldn't have people volunteering to take on board that role.
Yeah.
Wow, that's an interesting picture because, you know, when we encounter shepherds, you know, in various, you know, Christmas theme plays and so forth, they're kind of seen in a very different light. You know, they're kind of seen as, yeah, these cute kind of, you know, men and, you know, people would, oh, yeah, who wants to be a shepherd? Yeah, I'll be a shepherd. It's kind of seen as a...
Looks like a fun job.
Exactly.
No stress.
Exactly, exactly. But, yeah, but they were certainly looked down upon.
That's right.
They were looked down upon. And so God chooses the shepherds to be...
That's right.
To be his messengers.
Isn't that amazing?
That is so
beautiful.
So out of left field.
Yeah.
And so beautiful.
And so true of our God.
And here is Jesus who says, I am the good shepherd. So he places himself in the position of a shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And today we see that in one way, but back then, 2,000 years ago, they saw that in a very different way.
I hadn't thought about it from that point of view, but that's powerful.
Yeah.
Because he just cares for us, his sheep, and he'll take on that. He'll take on that position, no matter how bad.
So the shepherds were considered to be like the lowest of the low.
They were.
Yeah. And so in Philippians 2, where the Apostle Paul talks about, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, you know, who humbled himself and all the way through to became, you know, willing to die, even the death on the cross.
Yes.
Once again,
yes,
that was considered for the lowest of the low.
That's right.
In society. So we've got the shepherds, we've got Jesus being crucified. He's continually stooping to the lowest point in order to reach those who are at the lowest point.
Amazing.
So there is nobody, no matter how low they believe they may be, that cannot be reached by Jesus, because Jesus has come down to the lowest level to reach those who believe they're at the lowest point.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's powerful.
Amen.
Well, on this particular night that you were reading about, you can imagine that these shepherds, who are in the very same fields that David had possibly tended his sheep in centuries before.
Outside Bethlehem.
Yeah, and we know that this time of year was around the time when lambs were to be born. How important, because Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This humble group of shepherds, they're there, and the Bible says at the end of verse 8 you read there, it says they were keeping watch over their flock by night. That's what we read in our English Bible. But there's actually two Greek words used here in this phrase, which in the sense of the Greek indicate that they were not just watching, they were really, really watching. And you say, well, what does that mean? There's a beautiful commentary on the life of Christ called The Desire of Ages, the same author of that book, The Great Controversy, actually. She says this, and a quote from page 47, through the silent hours, they talked together of the promised Savior, and they were praying for the coming of the King to David's throne.
Wow.
That's why they were really watching. They weren't just watching their sheep, but they were really watching and praying, which is what Jesus wants us to do. He counts us to do that.
Matthew 24.
Matthew 24.
Watch and pray.
Gethsemane. We were talking about that too. He told his disciples, watch and pray.
Wow.
Yeah.
These are very practical lessons for us who are living on the eve of the second coming of Jesus.
Yes, exactly.
So it's almost like carbon copy. So what happened there at the first coming, you're suggesting, is the principles and the ingredients for what we need to adopt as we prepare for the second coming of Jesus.
Yes. You put it well.
Wow.
I see there's so many parallels in the story.
I've never thought of that until now.
Well, it keeps continuing. There's still a few more aha moments coming. As they're talking, the Bible says, do you want to read verse? Well, yes.
Before you go there, you mentioned lambs. This was a time for lambs to be born. How do you know that?
Well, I'm just thinking here about, I have it in my notes. I'm trying to find how I knew that.
Because that was an interesting concept.
Yeah. Well, I think.
Is it because they are watching very carefully? Okay, they're watching in the scriptures.
Yeah.
But if there's going to be lambs, there's obviously going to be wolves.
Well, that's true too.
More so, well, they'll be more opportunist because, you know.
Well, if you probably look here at the, you can probably gain a few ideas about when Jesus was born, because he wasn't born in December.
No, he wasn't.
We know that. No. It was probably more about September.
That's right.
Middle
of winter.
Which would be where
December
25
is not the date. That's associated with something very different.
Which would be where we would get this idea of when the lambs would be born. But yeah, I found that in research. I can't tell you any more than that right now. But as they were watching and keeping watch, really, really watching and praying even. I mean, they may be simple and they may be looked down on by others, but they loved the Lord and they loved his word and they were looking up to in prayer, really. They're studying. Their hearts were set on greater things, not just the things of this world. And then watch what happens in you read verse 9 and 10.
Okay. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.
So out of nowhere, in the dark, as they're talking and they're praying, suddenly this celestial being materializes in an explosion of glorious light before these shepherds. Talk about an answer to prayer. And then the angel tells them not to be afraid because he has good tidings. Literally, this is the word, good tidings, from which we get our word evangelize.
Euangelion.
Euangelion. It's one of your favorites.
It is.
There.
Wow.
And it keeps going. Do you want to read verse 11 and 12?
For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger.
Yes. So, you know, this was not the kind of Messiah they had probably expected. But as they hear of a Savior who's laid in a manger, these humble shepherds, I'm sure, saw or heard in that a Savior they could relate to. This was someone who they would understand, someone who could understand them, and they were instantly drawn to him. And we should also feel drawn to Jesus too, as someone who can sympathize with us, who understands us in our weaknesses, because he is Emmanuel, God with us. And Amen. As you said, he's the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep.
Amen. Amen. Wow. There's so much in this. And, they were even given a sign.
Yes, we got to come back to that.
Wow, that's very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. Wow, praise the Lord for that. So much depth.
Amen.
Well, folk, we're going to go to a song now. Gloriana's going to sing for us Silent Night. Sit back and enjoy, and then we'll continue with this Bible study.
Silent Night. Savior is born.
everyone. You're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right. And if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun. So catch you then. And you are listening to the Looking Up Show, and that was Gloriana and Silent Night.
Beautiful.
Hope you enjoyed Silent Night.
I love this time of year for the repetition of these carols and songs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just absolutely beautiful. And, hey, I failed to give a shout out. A shout out to my friends in Terralba. I was in Terralba running a program, yes. A Signs of the Times.
How did it go?
It went really, really well.
Praise the Lord.
And it was translated into Spanish.
Wow.
By our friend Esteban. Do you know Esteban?
I know Esteban.
Yeah, Esteban. Yeah. He translated. And so the folk got more of a bonus because the translation, I mean, the Spanish translation wasn't on the flyer, wasn't on the advertising. So there was some that came and they were like, wow, we're going to learn some Spanish today.
Yeah.
And so there was a beautiful lunch that followed. So we had a number of people that came from the community, which was really great. So I'm going to give a big shout out to Rob. If you're listening, I told him I'd give him a shout out. Steve and his wife and Karen as well. So, yeah, it went really, really well. So it was my second time there, was there last year. So that was a Faith FM program.
Wow.
And so, yeah, just a big shout out. It was lovely to hang out with them. So that's my last program for the year.
Oh, well.
But next year.
It'll be a big year.
Oh, next year I'm planning on putting a new series together, Charissa.
Really?
I'm going to call it American Apocalypse.
I love it.
3-4-part series focusing on the United States' role in Bible prophecy.
Fantastic.
So we'll deal with that. All right. So we are looking at some signs.
Yes, we are. Now, we were looking at what the angels said to the shepherds, and they told them in verse 12 of Luke chapter 2, which is where we were. They said, well, I'll start in verse 11. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. If it wasn't for Luke, we wouldn't know anything about those details, by the way. But the word for sign here, the sign to you, it's the same word that Jesus uses in Matthew 24 when he refers to those signs, which we talk about every week here on this program, signs about his second coming. And I can't help as we reflect today on the first coming of Jesus that the signs heralding his second coming are increasing everywhere. And we talk about it. We've already talked about it here in the program, but we talk about it every week. And, I thought at this point we could share even some more signs that we are seeing.
Oh, absolutely. Just really quickly. And, you know, the Bible says when they cry peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them like labor pains upon a pregnant woman. They shall not escape. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. Yes. And that scripture is in the context of the day of the Lord, you know, the coming of Jesus. Well, we know that there is a growing push and a growing cry for peace and safety. And this was a very interesting article from Vatican News that I came across just this week. And it's, very, very recent. I'm just trying to find the date here, which I'm struggling to do. But anyway, this was like in the last couple of days. And the headline was Pope: Christian Fraternal Dialogue Can Be a Model for Today's World. And so Pope Francis is basically saying that Christians need to unite, and that unity can be a model for how we achieve world peace and safety today. In fact, let me just read to you a little of this introduction. In his traditional greetings to Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew on the occasion of the Feast of St. Andrew, that would be November 30. So you have the Patriarch of the Orthodox Church. He gives a gift on behalf of the Orthodox Church to the Roman Catholic Church and the Pope. He gives that gift every June 29, which is the Feast of St. Peter and St. Paul. Mm-hmm. And the Pope, he does the same on the special day for the Church of Rome. Okay. The Church of Rome was June 29, their special day, the Feast of St. Peter and St. Paul. And then on November 30, the Patriarch, who resides in Istanbul, you know,
That was the that's ancient Constantinople, you know, the eastern part of the Roman Empire, you know, when Constantine went to that part and established Constantinople as the eastern capital of the Roman Empire. And so in November 30, Pope Francis or the Catholic Church gives a gift. And so this is really interesting. It says here, so Pope Francis calls for ongoing efforts and prayers for the gift of unity among Christians, remarking that their fraternity and witness can also serve as a model for today's world plagued by war and violence. What's the opposite to war and violence?
Peace and safety.
Hallelujah. We're there. Can you see how he's saying that the Church of Rome and the Orthodox Church that have been separated for 1,000 years, it's time for unity. Here's another headline from the Catholic News Agency. Mm-hmm. So I'm going straight to the horse's mouth. A path toward unity. Pope Francis proposes joint Catholic Orthodox celebration of Nicaea anniversary. This is the Nicaea Council in 325 AD, and he's saying next year will be 1,700 years since the Council of Nicaea, which was a very important council of the Church of Rome. And he's saying that now it's time for us to put aside our differences and to come together in unity. He says the now imminent 1,700th anniversary of the First Ecumenical Council of Nicaea, the first one, will be another opportunity to bear witness to the growing communion that already exists among all who are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he says we need to focus on not our differences, but on the things that unite us. And then here's another one. You're talking about signs?
Yes.
Here's another one.
You got a lot there.
Vatican News. You shouldn't have got me started. Vatican News. This was also a headline from, not so long ago. This is in the last few days. Celeste Solo, WMO. Not sure what that means. But anyway, this is what Pope Francis said. We share Pope Francis's concern over climate change. And so, this is the Secretary General of the World Meteorological Organization speaks to Vatican News about her conversation with Pope Francis, in which they discussed the urgency of concerted efforts to address climate change. So, Pope Francis is saying that the religious bodies in the world can play a huge role in addressing climate change. As the world religions unite together, we can do so much in addressing climate change. And we know that from previous years and these conventions and convocations that have taken there at the Vatican, where Pope Francis has invited not just Christian leaders, but he's invited the religious leaders of the world and scientists to come together to sign these joint agreements, these joint pacts or whatever you want to call them, that have been shared with the various COP, with the various COP gatherings and the United Nations.
And this is all significant because the Bible says that all the world will wonder after the beast.
Exactly.
And it's just preparing the way for that final worship crisis.
Indeed.
Where
the world will be united.
Yes.
So we're going to have those who have got differences in lots of different areas, but they're all going to come together, Sharissa.
Yeah, polarization.
Under the banner of world peace and safety. So Sunday will be rolled out, not as a national Sunday law.
No.
It's going to be rolled out as a world peace and safety day.
A day Sunday, for the planet, a day for the family.
A day for people, a day for the planet. Mm. And so we can see how everything is coming together. And it's interesting that this, this individual that I was just quoting from, he says, where are we here? He says, action should be informed by science, but moved by faith. Can you see? Combining science and faith. He says, we have a common agenda and can work together. That is science and religion. We can work together to protect people's lives and livelihoods. So we are seeing all these things coming together. And one final thing is, I don't know if you're aware of this, but we have Notre Dame, you know, the famous Notre Dame church.
Is that the one that burnt down?
The one that burnt down. Well, a major part of it burned down in 2019. And that is being rededicated. So it's been all repaired. It's back to the way it was, they say, and even greater and grander. And guess who was invited by the French President Emmanuel Macron from the United States to be at the grand opening?
Who?
Not Joe Biden, but President-elect Donald Trump.
Really?
He was invited. He was invited. And this is what he said on his Truth Social. Here we go. This is what he said. It is an honor to announce that I will be traveling to Paris, France, on Saturday. So that's this coming Saturday, December 7th, to attend the reopening of the magnificent and historic Notre Dame Cathedral, which has been fully restored after a devastating fire 5 years ago. President Emmanuel Macron has done a wonderful job ensuring that Notre Dame has been restored to its full level of glory, and even more so, it will be a very special day for all. He calls it, you know, a great honor. And this is the same Donald Trump that at his rallies was playing Ave Maria. And guess who this church, Notre Dame, the most famous church almost in Europe, is dedicated to?
Mary. Interesting.
And guess what? Mary is seen by the Church of Rome as a co-mediator with Christ, as someone that you can pray to. And many Catholics, you know, innocently, not knowingly, pray to Mary, even though the Bible teaches us that we have one mediator between God and man, and that's Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what the Bible clearly teaches. But they don't know. And so do we know that there's going to be spiritual phenomena in the end times?
Absolutely.
Are there Marian apparitions happening right now and have been? Yes. Will the supernatural increase as time goes by? Yes. Does Donald Trump believe in, you know, aliens from outer space or intelligent beings from outer space having a part to play in world affairs? Yes. So all these things are coming to pass, and it's really, really interesting to see how everything is coming to pass.
Truly, Jesus is coming again. Same Jesus, only this time he's not coming as a little babe in Bethlehem, but he is coming as the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Well,
so there you go. That's the signs. And there's more, but we'll leave it there.
There's so many more, but let's keep reading Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14.
It says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" Oh, I've got commentary on this.
You've got commentary.
You know where I'm going to go.
Do you want to go first?
Okay. This is the truth about that peace and safety that can only come through God's Son, Jesus Christ. The end time cry for peace and safety is the false. It's the fabrication. It's the counterfeit peace and safety. The true peace and safety will only come through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He came 2,000 years ago bringing peace. He says, "I've come to bring peace." And he is the Prince of Peace, according to Isaiah 9, verse 6. But there will be a counterfeit. But Jesus offers us peace and goodwill toward all men.
Yes.
And it's interesting, glory to God in the highest.
Mm.
That also stood out for me, because guess what? The first angel's message in Revelation 14:7.
Fear God.
And
give glory him glory.
But at the end of time, there's going to be the counterfeit. So there's going to be the true Charissa, and there's going to be the counterfeit. They're going to be side by side at the end of time.
That's so true. If I can back up a little bit, the whole concept of, you know, this angel bursts into sight, and then behind the angel there's suddenly this beautiful, glorious, angelic choir that starts singing. It was actually in those days whenever a baby was born, you know, we have baby showers, or you have, I forget what you call it once the baby's born, but, you know, you have a celebration when a baby is born. And in those days, usually a musical group from the temple would come and play instruments and sing, but there was nothing like that done when Jesus was born in the manger there in that stable in Bethlehem. But even though there was no one from the temple to mark his birth, God was ready.
There was something better.
He had a musical group ready, that a choir of who knows how many thousands, maybe millions of angels filling the sky to sing this song of praise. And they did it for the shepherds. I mean, can you imagine? Like, what a privilege to have heard them sing. And, you know, we missed that event. We weren't there. The shepherds saw it. We weren't. But by God's grace, we won't miss it the second time. Mm. The Bible says in Matthew 25:31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and how many?
All the holy angels
with him. Then he will sit on the throne of his glory. So we won't miss the next time.
Amen. Amen. That is very powerful. That is very powerful. Well, folk, hope you've enjoyed our Bible study thus far. We've still got a little bit to go, but in the meantime, we've got The Battle Belongs to the Lord. Sit back and enjoy, and we'll be back.
In heaven beyond, we will enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord, and we sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. When the power of darkness comes in like a flood, the battle belongs to the Lord. He's raised up a standard, the power of his blood. The battle belongs to the Lord, and we sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. When your enemy presses in hard, do not fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend, your redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord, and we sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord.
You're listening to Faith FM, positively different radio.
Looking up to you.
You're listening to The Looking Up Show on this first Wednesday in December. It's December 4, and I hope and pray that you have been blessed thus far. The time has flown by, Sharissa. Can you believe it?
Always flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, and you'll be flying soon. Sharissa will be flying out of here very soon, off to the land of the free and the home of the very, very brave.
For a cold Christmas.
Anyway, to visit Justin's family and her family, the in-laws. Are they still in-laws or are they outlaws?
They're still in-laws.
They're in-laws. Praise the Lord, they're still in-laws. While they're in-laws, it's always good. So if you would still like to get hold of that book, we've still got plenty more. As we said, we have as many as there are takers, we've got that many books. So Dare to Connect with God, a book, 13 chapters in connection with prayer. Sharissa's written one, so it's worth just getting the book just to find out what Sharissa thinks.
Yep.
In fact, I can't even remember what I think.
I
need to get hold of that book and just see what you think. Yeah. So anyway, our number is 0488 17624. That's 0488 17624. The code word is LU24 connect. So you need to text that number. Sorry, you need to text the word LU24 connect to the number 0488 17624. All right, Sharissa, let's continue this Bible study.
Well, yes, we are fast winding down here, so we're up to verse 15.
Up to verse 15. All right, I need to go back to
Luke. And the shepherds have just witnessed and heard the most beautiful angelic choir sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men."
Can you imagine that? The shepherds were given the honor of being the audience.
Yes. In fact,
announcing the birth of Christ through the angelic voice in song. That is something else for me.
There's a line in Desire of Ages where the author there, she writes that they witnessed the brightest picture ever beheld by human eyes.
Wow.
Yeah.
The brightest picture.
That's how glorious it was on that night.
Wow. It's just too much. Well, we're going to see, and you mentioned, you know, the second coming is just around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And we will have an opportunity 2,000 years later to experience that. Amen. So where are we now?
Verse 15.
So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now, I'm surprised they've still got their voices.
Yeah, I'm sure it took a while. They probably had like, a bit of silence.
Like a week later. No, it doesn't say that, but yeah. Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it? Here they were, just bit players in the great drama of human history, but God thought of them.
Wow.
They weren't lost to him. He knew them and he wanted them to know. And I think it's significant in this verse that the Bible says that the shepherds didn't say, let's go to Bethlehem and see if this is true. Let's go and see if what the angel said is true. But they went fully believing and expecting the message that they had heard, that they would find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, just as the angel had said. And they knew and believed that that baby would be the Messiah. They didn't worry about the sheep. They didn't get bogged down in debates about how they would find one small baby in a town with so many stables. We don't even know how many stables they checked. They just followed that star, I'm sure. But yeah, they simply obeyed and went. And there's a lesson there for us.
Well, back to the signs briefly. We are seeing these signs being fulfilled that Jesus said would precede his coming. Like those labor pains that would intensify. So we believe what's on the horizon. We believe in the things that we are saying that are on the horizon because of the signs that we see, because of the evidence we thus have. We believe that what God said will happen. And that's exactly what we have here.
Amen. Amen.
They believed in what they were about to see because of what they had already seen.
Yes. And because they believed, their faith became sight. They actually got to lay eyes on the baby Jesus.
That's very powerful.
Do you want to read verse 16 and 17 also?
Yes. And they came with haste and found Mary. So with haste. Well, you're going to comment on that, I'm sure.
No, I wasn't going to. Go ahead.
No, well, they didn't dilly-dally.
They didn't waste time.
No, they didn't. They were quick to go immediately as they heard the word and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. In verse 17?
Yes.
Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child.
Yes. So I want to pick up on a few things here. The shepherds, they're really like their very first Christian evangelists because they might have been shy, they might have been smelly, but the Bible tells us they're literally stopping strangers in the street to tell them about the baby they'd seen in the manger. And I'm sure people thought, oh, they're just shepherds, they're crazy, but it didn't matter to them that people might have thought their news was fake news. They were changed. And there's an interesting word here in the Greek when it says in the King James, it says that they made known abroad these things. In the Greek, the word, I'm sorry, I'm not a Greek person, but
you go for it.
Diagnorizo, that's what I've got here in my notes, and it means to give an exact report. So as crazy as their experience might have sounded, which you think about the story, doesn't happen every day. As crazy as it might have sounded, they weren't going to change their story. They would tell it exactly how it was. It didn't matter if people laughed them to scorn or if they thought that God shouldn't have revealed this to them. They weren't committed to popularity or people pleasing. They were committed to giving glory to God in the highest, and they would tell the truth, and we should do the same.
Amen. Amen. And that's an end time lesson because God's end time people will not be popular. They will not be part of the majority.
That's right.
But God has commissioned them to stand for and to preach and teach and share and live out the truth. Amen. As it is in his word.
Amen.
So this is going to be a carbon copy of what's coming down the track.
That's right.
Very powerful.
The final verse that I'd like to highlight here, maybe we just read verse 18 to 20.
Okay. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. Verse 20. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them.
Such a beautiful story because, they're still shepherds on the outside, but on the inside, their hearts had changed. Jesus had made a difference already in their lives. And you mentioned before, people cry for peace and safety in this world, but the only one who can bring true peace and true safety to your life is Christ. He's the only one. And because they were watching, they were really watching. They were out watching their sheep, but they were really watching because they were talking. They were looking to God's word. They were praying in those night hours. Because they were really watching, they found the Lord. And there's a lesson and a lesson for us that we too, we will be ready when Jesus comes if we're really watching, if we're watching and praying, if we know what his word says, we'll be ready to meet him when he comes.
Amen, amen. And that lesson of watching and praying is just so, so critical, so, so important. Mm. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 24, 42 to 44, you know, watch therefore, you know, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. You know, further on, he says, watch once again. And then he finishes off by saying, you know, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. You know, watch and be ready. Mark chapter 13. Watch, watch, watch. Four occasions there.
That's right.
At the end of the signs of the times in Mark about watching, watching, yeah, watching. And then in Luke 21, there in Luke's gospel in connection with the signs of the times, he says, you know, watch and be ready. You know, watch and pray always. Mm. That you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. They were ready to stand before the Son of Man. When the glory of God appeared, they were not incinerated.
Yes.
They were ready. They were prepared and they were used by God. And God wants us to be ready to be used by him and to share the truth about where true peace and safety can be found. It can only be found in Jesus.
Amen. And I love this. I love what you're saying there and how this story highlights again for us that God uses anybody.
Mm.
Like people might be listening thinking, well, why would God take an interest in my life? I've got nothing special about me. Well, yes, you are special because, I mean, look at the shepherds. Mm. He thought they were very special, special enough for heaven's choir to sing, for them to know that Jesus was born. Like everybody is special to God. And I like this verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 27, but God has chosen the full